Good afternoon, everybody. Introducing this session of Zoe Beloff's films is a very special pleasure to me. I've admired her work, and I think I dare say, Zoe, that we've become friends over the years. So it's a very special treat. It's also a very special treat to have Esther Leslie. Esther, can you stand up? Yeah. That's Mandy. I don't have to keep talking. Esther is here at Birkbeck and is professor. What are you professor of?
Political aesthetics.
Very, very appropriate. So it's a great pleasure to have Esther here in conversation with Zoe after the screening. I wanted to start my introduction by going back into Zoe's family history, which I don't usually do when I'm introducing our filmmakers. She's the child of German immigrants who came
German
to this...
German and Russian.
Oh, your mother was Russian?
No, my father came from Russia.
Oh, I've got confused.
My mother, Germany.
Yes.
Father's family from Russia.
Russia, yes, from Russian and German, but arrived in the 1930s. Yeah. And Zoe's father was a professor of psychology at Edinburgh University, and psychology / philosophy at Edinburgh University. So she grew up actually in Edinburgh, and although she's lived for many years in the United States, are you still British?
Yeah.
Yes, so she's still.
I'm British. I have two passports.
Two passports.
I need them both.
Right. But her uncle was the historian Max Beloff, who used to be extremely well known, but nowadays the younger generation don't seem to know who he is. Have you noticed this, Zoe? But anyway, she doesn't mind him being forgotten because she says he was an extremely reactionary historian who ended up as Baron Beloff in the House of Lords. But the interest, the further interest, and the local interest of Zoe, the story of Zoe's parents, is that they both studied at Birkbeck, and they met and fell in love, presumably, here, both of them studying psychology. So Zoe says that her mother is always very pleased when she comes and presents here at Birkbeck. So we have a kind of sentimental background to her presence. But Zoe moved to New York in 1980, studied for her MFA at Columbia, and she's truly a multimedia artist. She writes all her own text, and text is very important in her work. She's a painter, as we'll see very soon, obviously a filmmaker, also a performance artist. She's very internationally acclaimed, now working in France, in two different cities in France, and has been shown quite widely in the UK, the Grundy Gallery, and also the one in...
Talbot Race in Edinburgh.
No, but there was another one. Anyway, three places here. But this is Zoe's second visit to BIMI. The first was in 2013, when we had an event on 3D film. And Zoe has made two extraordinary 3D films with antiquated 3D amateur equipment. And this allows me to introduce her husband, Eric Mussey, who he and Zoe met around 1999-ish. And Eric is an absolutely crucial part of Zoe's extremely technically complicated work, and he does a lot of the cinematography. And when she showed her 3D films here, it involves an enormous amount of complicated setting up of special projectors that could project the 8mm 3D film, distribution of the glasses, etc. And also Eric was the cinematographer on the films that we're going to see today. So you could say it's a kind of important collaboration, couldn't you?
Oh yeah. I mean, he's more than just a cinematographer. He's really kind of my interlocutor. I mean, he's somebody we discuss all aspects of the project.
Yeah. And but I think you discuss all aspects of the project, but he's also the enabler of these actually quite technically complicated projects. Now, when Zoe was here for the 3D conference, we also showed the film that she'd made of Brecht's play, The Commune. Now, this was made, I can't remember when you made it.
2012.
And she made it to celebrate the Occupy movement in New York, which 2012 might not seem so very long ago, but of course, so far as the United States is concerned, it's a completely other world. And it's really interesting to have had Zoe here at that moment in a sense of utopian optimism and have her back in this very different kind of context. So we showed the whole of Occupy, which is quite an epic work. And it was shot on location all over New York in the context of the Occupy movement. So it makes an interesting backdrop to her continuing interest in Brecht, which we'll see again in a few minutes. Now, Zoe calls herself a medium, which emphasizes in her rather particular way her concern for an animated, I think one could call it an animated interaction between past and present that runs through her work, and we'll see very, very vividly in a few minutes. This is what I find personally one of the most extraordinarily interesting and exciting parts of Zoe's continuum. But I think it'll be the case for everybody. But it also takes me back to my first encounter with Zoe's films, which comes out of the Coney Island psychoanalytic circle, which was a piece that she made from found footage, and is one of the most imaginative uses of found footage that I've come across. She found a number of discarded little films in the street in New York, which then became the dreams of the Coney Island Psychoanalytic Association. When I saw it, I was completely taken in. The whole piece is in fact a wonderful construction of fiction. But I mention it now very particularly because of Zoe's interest in the relationship between the past and the present, going back to psychoanalysis and the structure of the unconscious. Now, since then, the question of the relationship between past and present has become increasingly politicized. Is that true?
Yeah.
And I think this has happened as Zoe has found herself engaging characteristically and also willy-nilly in the unfolding political dramas in the US. So the engagement with the Occupy movement has now gone on to a deep engagement with what's happening in the United States at this moment. So I'll just finish my introduction by saying that two things. One, the relevance of showing these films here in the context of the SA Film Festival. These are truly essayistic films, and as Zoe has also pointed out about the film, Eisenstein's unrealized film, The Glass House, that it was an essay that he wanted to turn into a major film production, which wasn't conceived. And as Zoe herself has pointed out, that the failure of the projects that are the matter, that are the topic of Two Marxists in Hollywood, might have seemed like failure at the time, but as she revives and reworks them, they then, as it were, speak to us across the decades from the end of the 1920s, early 30s, till to now. So in some ways, rather than seeing them as failures, we should now, as it were, recognize them for what they were and what we can turn them into what they are now. So the essay as artwork is always there across everything that Zoe does. But I just want to end with a phrase of Zoe's, which I think is deeply characteristic and sums up a lot of what she is about, as we might say. She says, "Today we don't talk enough about humour in art." And humour runs through, humour and satire runs through everything that she does. But we are also very, I think, privileged today to have an extra, a kind of a special extra at the end of our session, when Zoe will give us a preview of the new work that she's doing at the moment, which is painting for an exhibition in Berlin in October on the relationship between Brecht and Benjamin. But the work that she's doing is a commentary coming out of Brecht, but a commentary on how she sees the present configuration of politics in the United States today. So what we're going to do is, Zoe will now say a couple of words to introduce the films. We'll then show the films, then she and Esther and I will have a conversation about them, which we'll open up for general discussion. And then at the end, we'll have our special preview. Oh, I wanted to point out that the Two Marxists in Hollywood, Eisenstein and Brecht in Hollywood, has appeared as a very beautiful book, which is published by Christine Bergen in New York. And if anyone wants further details about it, ask me at the end. Zoe.
What a beautiful introduction, and it's really lovely, and I'm really thrilled to be here. I'm really excited to be here and be able to present all three films that make up this project of World Redrawn. And particularly, I'm really excited about being in conversation with Laura and with Esther, because they've been really important people in the formation of my thinking, like long before I knew them and was friends with them. I mean, I first read Laura's writing on cinema when I was like a 16-year-old, really obnoxiously precocious teenager who like quit school early so I could just study film on my own. I did eventually go back to art school, but at that moment, I decided to take it upon myself to study cinema. And I was reading Laura's work and so on, and then much later, I discovered Esther's writing with a wonderful book called Hollywood Flatlands about animation and critical theory. And I've been really interested in animation as kind of thinking at work. And I read this, and I was like, wow, if I was an academic and an intellectual, that would be the book that I wrote. And I'm so glad she wrote it. So that really got me interested in Eisenstein and animation. That was the first I heard about his visit to Walt Disney, and it just, even though it was quite a long time ago now, it like planted the seed that really has kind of come to flower in the Project Glasshouse. So these three films kind of form a trio, and they were part, sometimes I show them just as films, and they've traveled to quite a number of festivals. They were also part of a, kind of conceived as an exhibition where you see them in a gallery with actual archival objects. So, because I think it's, I'm always in dialogue with these archival things, so you could see Eisenstein's drawings, what they really look like, and then my glasshouse. Otherwise you might think I made it all up, but I didn't. Brecht's film, A Model Family and Model Home, is based on an article in Life magazine. You can see the article in Life magazine. Plus there was drawings, architectural models, and so on. So there's kind of a constellation of objects that talk to each other. But I wanted to open the exhibition with two Marxists in Hollywood, because I felt like today, even though probably all of you here in Birkbeck, and that's why you're here, have heard of Brecht and Eisenstein, lots of people haven't. You know, you ask my students who they are, and they would just kind of look at you bewildered. So for lots of young people today, these are figures of lost to history. So I wanted to introduce them. So that was really why I made the first film, and maybe explain why they might be interesting for us to talk to today. And then the two, Glasshouse and Model Family and Model Home, were based on ideas that they both of them wanted to make in Hollywood but never had the opportunity. As I say, I just want to say it's important that I didn't want to try and make the films that they would have made. I didn't want to make a pastiche of a film made in 1930 or a pastiche of a film made in 1941. Rather, I wanted to see how we could take their ideas forward into our world. So I think with that, we'll just watch them. We'll just watch them, three of them, straight through, and then we can all talk about them.